Support for Art and Labor comes from our lovely Drip subscribers. Your contributions help us dedicate more time to the podcast. Subscribe now for bonus memes, writing, and art. Become a doodle bitch today and get one of our controversial t-shirts. Hello, everybody, and welcome to another edition of Art and Labor, the podcast focusing on the ongoing struggle to survive as an art and or cultural worker. I am OK Fox.
And I'm Lucia Love. And I have the giggles. I can't stop.
Yeah, we had a whole fucking bit about Joey's loud chair that is you can probably hear on all the recordings.
Yeah.
Fuck, it doesn't matter.
It's fine. Well, yeah, it's great.
we go to a studio to record now. We each have our own microphone. It's better than before. I don't know.
It's great.
How are you?
I'm doing all right. I'm incredibly hot, but my life has purpose these days. So
that's great.
Everything is up on the up and up.
I feel the same way. I just piggybacking on our last episode, just want to eliminate nihilism in our friends.
Oh, yeah.
That's just how I feel lately is, yeah, don't get caught up in that nihilism, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I feel a lot better right now. My schedule is full. I have people that are enthusiastically communicating with me about a brighter future. I have people who want to hear about the way life could be, and they don't go like, that's bullshit idealism. They're like, oh wow, that would be nice if life was better, actually.
Yeah.
Huh. Yeah, actually, I agree. I like that idea of life being better, nicer. More choices.
Yeah. I'm not gonna just stew in a bunch of negativity and self-loathing and whatever. I'm gonna work with my friends and discover what power we have to when we work together.
Yeah,
it's very fun and cool.
Yeah, I'm gonna keep the dream alive.
I'm gonna carry the torch of all the people who have fought for things like the weekend, against child labor. The fact that we had a childhood is awesome, and everybody deserves that, and the fact that there are people around the world who don't get to have that is something worth fighting for.
Oh yeah, fight for the children. Fight for the right to wear pants.
That rules.
Yeah, actually, yeah, people who were supposed to wear dresses in the past, they would sometimes get arrested. Like women, if they had to go to court, they couldn't wear pants, or their cases would get thrown out.
Yeah, that shit's wild, and that shit still continues to this day in America, mostly aimed at Black people and immigrants and that dress code shit is still alive in a lot of our courts.
Oh, yeah.
Which is, pretty insane, but...
Yeah, that's true.
It's way better than it used to be.
I can walk down the street wearing leg differentiators.
Dude, that rules. That's a cool thing to feel appreciatory of. Is that a word?
Celebratory and appreciatory.
Hey.
Yeah.
Oh, we're making up words.
Hey, and today. That's a part of the revolution,
It's fun to make up words.
You can do that.
It's fun. Don't feel, controlled by, whatever.
By big dictionary.
Yeah, well, they're called grammar Nazis for a reason.
Yeah. Ooh. Slammed.
I mean, it's true. There's a lot of languages, white supremacist nonsense. So,
yeah,
it's good to think about, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, today we're going to talk about, we're just building off of our past, two episodes. We mentioned Bad Art World, which is like a group, an internationalist art group that has a lot of, it has a great platform about what art workers could be uniting around and fighting for and demanding.
Mm-hmm. And they've got a really solid historical foundation that they write all of their manifestos off of, and they make sure to link to all of these primary texts. So it's totally worth going to their site, even though they don't publish on a 24-hour news cycle or something like that. They're not trying to compete with anyone. They're just putting out really good content.
Yeah, it's tough because we've been conditioned by the algorithms to only pay attention to things posted in the past hour or whatever. Yeah. But it's good not to do that sometimes, maybe just a little bit. But and also this, what we're gonna read from was only. This is written this month,
mm-hmm. Which is like hours and hours older than everyone is used to. But
yeah, I'm sorry. It feels like years, but
yeah,
it is written within this month. And because I saw this pop up was why I wanted to do an episode on for a independent revolutionary art or slash for free. Mm-hmm. Independent revolutionary art. I don't know. I think it's translated two different ways is what I've.
Yeah.
But
that Trotsky thing.
That Trotsky thing we read. Check the feed for the episode before, directly before this one. We read the whole thing. So if you don't have time to read it, it's really short. But if you would rather us read it to you, you can just like.
Yeah.
Listen to that before this episode.
So we're going to get into it.
Fuck yeah.
A contribution towards a program for the arts.
Yes, and we will of course link to this in our show notes. You can read it and follow through on all of the links to their previous issues and articles that they mention. But it's great. It's like a great set of demands that I just don't understand what the argument against these demands are. So,
well, I think all right, I think that to get into the argument against, I really have this huge, how do you say, like an attaché case filled with instances where people have like said that idealism is bullshit, and they just say like, you know, and it's people all across the spectrum who will just like look at your interests or your dreams or your propositions or anything, and they'll be like, that's idealistic, you need to think pragmatically, you need to understand that we're never going to live in a world that doesn't have X, Y, and Z, or we're never going to live in a world that redistributes blah blah blah, and like,
you might be a nihilist.
Yeah, it's just like, that's the whole thing. They don't want to think about working towards anything better than the status quo. So they'll just be like, all of these propositions that some people like in Bad Art put together are idealistic and they're bullshit, and we have the foundations of the past to base this on.
How is it, I just like, how is it not pragmatic to have goals, like, and work towards them?
Mm-hmm.
How is it not pragmatic to like put forth a different possibility for the future and work towards it? Like, the it's just so neoliberal. It's just so like,
what? I don't know. I came up against this in like I've got like opinions about what women should be able to do, and it will like bleed into the realm of sex work, and I'll be like, what if there was a way that you could have more choices, you know, like even if you got into it, you could get out of it, or, you know, you could just do whatever and you would be like a little more free instead of it like following you for the rest of your life. And people are like, look, this is so age old that there's just no way to change a situation.
Yeah,
like that.
I was given that argument about against communism being like, it's like human nature to always go to war forever.
Oh, I know. And yeah, it's like war and like,
and prostitution or like yeah, sex work.
Sex and violence. Like, it's always gonna be.
I don't mean
weird.
Prostitution as like a slur. I just mean it as like that's like the fucking adage that everyone says. Like,
right.
Fucking, it's the oldest profession or whatever. It's just like.
Yeah, and war. Well, like, you know,
why can't we imagine
war is the oldest profession too?
Yeah, that's what I mean.
Come
like
on, people.
War,
sex,
and
violence.
Sex
and violence goes together like a. What rhymes with violence?
I just I think arguments about what's innate to humans is bullshit, and
yeah,
It's just, why not just think about what if it wasn't innate? Like,
right. Well, people want to, they like to make loopholes in arguments like, oh, well, you know, it's like human nature to invent cars, but it's also human nature to leave everything the way it is. What? No, it's not like humans. They're natural innovators, just not with societal issues. Sure.
Yeah, just not with anything behavioral, as if we haven't adapted behaviors plenty of times in plenty of instances
mm-hmm.
throughout human existence.
Yeah, it's completely natural and actually the God's green earth gave us silverware. It actually grows
yeah.
from dirt, from nothing. And we pick the fork that we use for our daily bread, which we cannot touch with our hands because
you
our
know,
hands
yeah,
are
bread
unnatural.
Is, bread is our natural. Right? Yeah, bread is like occurs in nature. Bread trees, you know.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. Oh, bread, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's right next to the
and
silver.
You know, and you know what else? You know, right on the on Noah's Ark was every single breed of dog.
Yeah.
And, like it's just always been this way.
Yeah, but not cats. Cats are from the devil.
Cats are from space.
Yeah. Space devils.
Dude, so are pandas. Pandas are fucking aliens.
It's true.
What
pandas do not get along on the earth.
What is with them? They're so fucking weird. They just eat. They're like a bear, but they only eat leaves. And
yeah, and they don't even like. They can't even sustain themselves
no.
off of it.
They're like such an anomaly. They don't make any sense.
Yeah, they don't even like each other. They're like, oh, forget it. I don't want to hook up.
Let's just all become, yeah. Yeah, I mean, I think pandas just see the writing on the walls and know that the planet is dying and why bother propagating?
Pandas, they're the nihilists of the animals.
Poor babies.
Oh. We need to get to them, please.
We're gonna become like Posadas, but for pandas instead of dolphins.
Yeah, we just need to unlock the revolutionary spirit of the panda and mobilize them. So when you see us arrested at the zoo, just know that like it was for a good reason. They're going to try to make us sound crazy, people.
Oh, my God. We're going off the rails, but let's read what this program is because, like...
Oh, yeah.
Having a program is essential. Like, we can't just be, like, you know... Mm-hmm. I don't know, like...
We got to make it clear.
Just angry all the time. We can't just be, like, everything's bad and, like... have nothing in response.
Yeah, we need to offer some kind of alternative and
And it's not that outside the realm of possibility. Like we're a little like going off the rails being like, how can we eliminate gigantic societal things? We as art workers can control what we know, and we can advocate for this together. It's just much more tangible. We could do this, like, you know, with the ultimate aim of dismantling capitalism, but, you know, work within baby steps. Yeah.
Baby steps, everyone. The minute that you start defining the future you want to see is the minute that it becomes possible.
And yeah, just having an imagination for this stuff. And it's like, what I'm trying to say is like a lot of this stuff is already in place in different parts of the world. It's just like we need to fight for it in our whatever our art communities are.
Yeah. And we've had it at different times in history too. Like there have been instances of like large scale social programs that benefit the arts, and they've been taken away and given back based on how intimidating the government finds free speech in the moment, or like you know, whether or not they think it's time to implement an austerity measure, or you know, anything else that is decided upon for the quote unquote greater good. So, you know, it's just more about like also defining, I think, what the greater good is taking care of everyone. Yeah. And not like, oh, sorry, we need austerity measures so that the rich can stay rich and then they can, like, you know, pay the people who gild their mansions and everyone else can fend for themselves. that's not cool. But what is cool is arts taught as central in all schools. Like, what if there was art in all of the schools?
Yeah, I mean, art programs are often the first thing cut in public schools, and there's a argument to be made that it's like it's just the least important compared to these other things, but it's just not true, because oftentimes art helps kids learn all the other stuff easier.
Can I tell you about a job that I had?
Yeah.
I worked for Town Hall. It's in Midtown.
Right. But
they have like the concert venue and everything. Right. They also have an arts program where you don't have to like, you know, be accredited or whatever. You can just go sign up as like an adjunct, and then you go all around the city and you teach courses, and so you get this checklist. It's called benchmarks. So you have to get these kids up to the benchmark of their grade level, and that's like your requirements for working. Also, you know, be a generally nice, cool person who wants to help kids.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's like an accredited teacher in all of the classrooms that you go to. But it's programs like this around the city that need a lot of help, because basically what happens is you go to schools in all the five boroughs and you teach like K through 12, and basically you have like a couple finger paints, maybe you have some clay, maybe you have some pieces of paper that you can like cut up and glue to a paper plate or something. But when the kids see you walk in, they freak the fuck out because they love art and they want a chance to express themselves, and they only get like 30 minutes a day, and the rest of it is insane because sometimes it's like, you know, they use like force on the kids sometimes to like keep them from fighting each other, or like, you know, the teachers will just like throw a kid down in their chair or something and just be like,
it's gross.
I mean, it's like super intense. So like even just going into that environment is beneficial, just being like, now this is art time, all of a sudden it changes everything.
Yeah, it's important for behavior. It's important, like, for everything. It's like, it's not just like a, God, it's just like all these fucking STEM lords who are just like, oh, all these humanities are useless or whatever. And it's just like, no, it's really important for people to be able to understand other things. They need outlets.
Mm-hmm.
So just go through a bunch of these bullet points. Free education at all levels, free admittance to museums and galleries, reduction in the working week without loss of pay, community workshop, rehearsal, and exhibition facilities. Yeah, those are all huge. I think free admittance to museums and galleries is is huge, and we've been losing that battle in the past couple of years, which is horrible and disgraceful. And if you work at a museum or whatever, that should be a huge part of something that you speak out against, because it's just, it's such a deterrent.
Yeah, there's no reason why the director of a museum should be a millionaire and everyone should have to keep paying for this. Like, there's just no reason for it. I don't know. What is the art for? What is, if it's in a museum, nobody's, like, actively using it in their game. Like,
I hate it. It's like, don't, we can't, we shouldn't allow in within the art, like, it, well, we should get rid of all CEOs, but it's like, within the arts, it's just so clear. It's just so clear that we don't need CEOs to run these places. We really don't. We really don't. They can be replaced with other people, like, you know, it, even if it takes, like, you know, we can hire three people or four people for, you know, the amount you pay one person.
Oh, yeah.
And then they all have jobs. And then they, we can all work together and run the museum. Or, like, you know, we don't need one person. Like, it's so gross. And it just shouldn't be allowed. And, like...
And then once you get rid of that structure, we can start learning more about the, like, actual history of the art that we're looking at when we go to MoMA, you know, and we see, like, I wouldn't mind, you know, it's like, okay, modern art is not my most favorite kind of art, but it's incredibly fascinating to, like, experience this output in context of the supremacy of America, like, and like constructing that narrative and hearing more about a well-rounded conceptualization of that is, would be sick as a museum. Like, it, you know, we have darker stuff that we commemorate, like going to the Holocaust Museum, you learn things that are really difficult to take in, but in a safe space. And, like, there's no reason why we can't do that to, like, learn about how capitalism has affected things. And we don't have to, like, abolish it or destroy everything. Or, you know, we just need to hear the truth in our institutions.
It's tough. It's tough. I get, because it's also so, in all the museums are so deeply entrenched in, like, oil money, bank money.
Yeah.
All this shit, even though they call themselves nonprofits, they fucking aren't. It's... It's just a way for these, like, much larger corporations to get, you know, write off a charity donation or whatever. It's gross, and it's a lot to disentangle. But I think for now, at the very least, we should be demanding that they're all free, like, and that there's a cap on salaries for these places and things like that, because this is just not sustainable. I hate it.
Wait a minute. Art and no, wait. Sex and violence goes together like death and silence.
Oh God. Oh my God. We can't dip into the, I'm like always on the border of just like walking straight into the sea. But I won't.
Suffer the fools.
I'd sooner join a commune in the separatist commune in the woods before I walk into the sea, but fuck. That's so bad. God.
Yeah.
These are all like attainable things. Especially because a lot of these museums were founded in one way and were just told lies like, oh, it just couldn't continue that way because of whatever, whatever. It's all bullshit. Like, you just bring up the fucking Museum of Charters to them, be like, it was supposed to be like this, and we as the workers want it to have a return to this.
Yeah.
Like, you can demand that. We can demand that. It's not impossible.
Mm-hmm.
It's not possible to go back. Having to present your fucking ID to get in the museum is abhorrent. It's abhorrent. It's so gross.
Oh, and then the whole thing about the library cards supposedly getting you into art institutions for free. Actually, we can only print a limited amount of these. And we're like, it's like they just find a way to.
You only get one a month or like whatever.
Yeah, same thing with like, it's like what happened in the history of MoviePass. It's like, hey, this is actually great. And what if there was like a popularized cinema like experience?
What if the wealthy did actually subsidize people's experience? At the movies and at museums and at concerts, like one of the bullet points here is no pay to play, scrap all performance and exhibition charges, a decent wage fee decided democratically by artist unions or assemblies to be paid by all professional artistic work. Engagers say they can't afford it. Open the books to inspection by artist union or assemblies. Big businesses who pay with exposure. Cough up. Small businesses who struggle like we do. Public subsidy to cover our costs. So yeah, there's a huge thing is transparency.
Mm-hmm.
So all these folks who say, oh, we can't afford it, we can't afford it, we can't afford it. Show us your fucking books.
Right.
We'll decide.
Well, I think that the fear that they're encountering within themselves is this, like, oh, what if I help someone and then other people find out that I'm helpful and then I have to like help more people?
I don't even know where to begin with all this shit.
I know. Well, no, but
we're just like playing
real
devil's advocate with ourselves over and over again. But
it is real, like, to be able, you know, I don't know. I've been on a kick now where I think, okay, if I put myself in this like position of like, what would happen if I had to help everyone? And then like, what would I tell myself to get over that? Or like, how do I run the logic of just being like, because you can't tell these people, obviously you can't tell them like, hey, this is what you should do. Otherwise, they would just be doing it if it was as simple as logic. But there's like this weird emotional like blockage going on around like concentrating wealth.
Yeah, no, it sucks to but it is important to appeal to people and to present them with a program and to maybe help them get there on their own.
Yeah.
Like, because folks feel better when they, especially Americans, like, feel better when they
do it themselves.
Oh, we figure out, you know what? I had this great idea. Okay. Like, people have been writing about that idea for, decades and decades, but sure.
Oh, yeah. It's like,
sure.
Yeah, everyone, I figured something out. It's like a system where we can deliver mail to each other. I made it up myself.
I invented a bus. Bullshit people.
Yeah. Everyone's familiar with the innovation community at this point.
It's like, it's really obnoxious. It's MoviePass, you know? It's that same shit. It's just like, we all want this. So why don't we figure out a way to make rich people cough up their money so we can implement these things?
Yeah. No pay to play. There's no reason why you should.
Yes.
Yeah.
And then on top of that is the next one, massive increase to public arts funding, which we've been talking about.
Mm-hmm.
It's not impossible. They have so much fucking money. Like, okay, something I've been reading about, I've been revisiting Ben Davis, and he talks about this, and we talk about this on the podcast sometimes, but just like people's ideas about what the different classes are all fucked up.
Oh, absolutely, yeah.
And so
everyone is like kind of ready to fight each other based on the idea that someone has slightly more like tangible assets than another person, and or like somebody has a job where they make a bunch of money and then it ends and they don't have any money, and then you know, everything kind of gets lost on a long-term scale, and we like focus on hyper detail.
Yeah. Well, where's the in the intro for the program, Bad Arts program, they talk about how the situation today is different. Artists still form a section of the intelligentsia, but in comparison to 1938, artists come from and stay or end up in many different backgrounds. No longer are they drawn solely from the middle or upper layers of society. There has always been folk art, of course, but the person who lives or desire to live from or for the arts appears more and more in the ranks of the working class. So it's like, everyone's operating on this idea that all artists are this class or whatever, but it's just not true. I mean, a lot of it is middle class, I guess. Yeah. And a lot of, and Ben Davis talks about, compares artists to small business owners, which I think is fair for some types of artists, but it's mostly like a small business that makes nothing.
Yeah, it's a small business with no definable output, really. It's just like, oh, I got, this year I made a poem. Like, next year I might make 20 sculptures.
He gives an example of, like, an artist who made, like, $50,000 over the span of 3 years for his paintings. And now, that's just not, you don't live on, I mean, that's a lot of money, but you don't live, that's not, for 3 years, that's not a,
right.
In America, that's not a huge amount.
Yes, I've experienced this, this exact situation of, like, having nothing, and then, like, having a commission that was pretty sizable, and then, like, ending up with nothing immediately because of debt. And just me, and then also having people be really like weird and snarky because they're like, "Oh, cool. How'd you get that commission? Huh? Oh, so how much money are you making now, huh?" And like, well, I have, I can't. I'm sorry, I can't go out or something. And they're like, "Oh, why not? I thought you got a big commission."
It's all, we gotta stop snipping at each other. And like, what I'm getting at is like, the ruling classes in a Marxist sense is pretty easy to define. So if we can at least agree on who are the ruling class, we can, if you know, if we land somewhere in the middle or whatever, we can, we should at least agree on who we're targeting.
Yeah.
Who really like has most of the money.
Yeah.
Like, and who could, you know, who we should be shaking down for money. Mm-hmm. Like, which, like, sometimes it feels like it, an upper middle class person has a lot of power, and they do have a certain amount of power. But it's like, there are people, there's like 400 families that own all the wealth in the world, you know?
Well, I think the issue in the art world is that it attracts, like, the petite bourgeoisie kind of attitude that will reinforce the ruling class and kind of like confuse the issue. So we do have
pick a fucking side.
We do have to like communicate with people that there will be a place for aesthetic beauty in the revolution. Like, there will be a place for little curlicues on stuff. It, like, that makes some people happy. And there's like a large part of the art industry is like, oh, right, you want to see a little beautiful painting of some nice, I don't know, like a crazy abstraction with all these different processes and stuff, and you want to put it in your room or whatever, and your friends look at it and they're like, that's really pretty, and you know, there's no, it doesn't have to do with anything, and we need to say like that is okay, like you don't have to protect the ruling class about it. We have the ability to make those things for each other.
Yes.
So like, you know, at the end of the day, we don't need to make so much like of an exclusive environment to protect that.
Right.
We also shouldn't don't have to attack it.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, it's a tricky balance, but it's like at the, you know, if you feel like you're in the petite bourgeois, you really need to just pick a fucking side, honestly.
Yeah.
Like, and we've said this before, but
we're recruiting and we're cooler than they are.
Like, seriously, like if you feel like these bullet points don't make sense or whatever, then maybe you're in the ruling class. I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah, like if you can't imagine saying no to gentrification, then maybe you're part of the ruling class.
Yeah, so I mean, that one's really important. That's something that like artists are complicit in, and we need to think about critically. I think even on an individual level, even though the main target, of course, are developers, that's always the main target. But it's also like, if we have a certain level of comfort and privilege, then why not examine like our living situations and how it could be affecting the neighborhoods we move into. Like, I don't think it's that hard. I don't think it's that big of an ask. So I don't know.
Yeah.
Did we miss one? Did we miss building a program of arts venues, including theaters, concert halls, galleries, run and programmed by the elected committees of local residences, workers and artists to fill in gaps in provision and bring full spectrum of the arts to all. So that's a really cool bullet point about, you know, the importance of community centers, community art centers, like, you know, separate from churches, separate from these things. Like, this is like something that a lot of folks in the New York DIY community have been talking about. They made a nightmare. They made a mayor of the nightlife.
Mm.
And folks have been debating this. And I think folks who are in this conversation, that conversation, listen to this podcast. And I would tell them to, to consider advocating for a more concrete program rather than just like pat ourselves on the back. We have one elected official who cares about the nightlife. I don't know.
Yeah, completely. You know, it's become kind of a running joke. Like, some friends of mine put out a zine a while ago that is called RIP DIY.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if anybody's seen that floating around, but it is like, okay, why don't we just like make a DIY publication about how many DIY venues have fallen under the millstone of capital.
Yes, and this is the thing that's so disappointing with DIY is that there's been generations and generations of failure, and we still haven't learned how to build a concrete program, like,
well,
from the start.
I don't know if it's like, you know, it's not a failure from within in most cases.
Right.
I think all of us want to see a continuation of our communities, but the that is like where idealism ends. It runs out of usefulness. Is like, okay, we do live in a city that is pretty relentless in its pursuit of profit, and this is where people need to make some kind of a safety net, or there needs to be some kind of a real look
rent
at
control.
The yeah rent control like but we need to start like enforcing with our elected officials or like you know demanding that we are able to maintain the spaces that are valuable to our communities because like I don't know, like just having this sort of separation between culture and politics doesn't make you more like legitimate or something. It, like more pure of a cultural actor. Like you need to say like, no. Like, I've been guilty of it in the past. You know, like when I'm like kind of more recently renewing my own interest in it and like my own activities in politics and my surroundings. Yeah. But like, so yeah, don't feel ashamed if you're not doing it. Like I can see that it's important and I'm just going to start doing it as much as I can. And as long as I know what I'm asking for, then I might have an effect on the community. Like,
right. And don't just feel like you're in this like transitional space that you're not actually part of community because like, oh, I just got out of college and I don't know what I'm going to do or whatever. Like, if you're here, then just be here. Be present and listen to the people who have lived where you are now for most of their lives or for, you know, who have, like, deeper relationships. And don't feel, I don't think you should feel like even if you do, I don't know, even if you are considering moving or whatever, you should at least be present.
Yeah.
For the time you're there now. And like,
yeah, and just kind of there is a, like a lot of clarity to local politics where it's like, oh, that's right. I do want an affordable place to live. Oh, I can go to a room where everybody's talking about that and find out that there's somebody I can vote for that wants the same thing. And if there isn't someone I can vote for, I can demand a candidate or I can become
the candidate. I mean, that's just nuts about the Julia Salazar stuff. I mean, it does feel like we're making gains where people are at, like are engaging with this stuff much more than the last election cycle in that same neighborhood. There was a great tenants' rights organizer who was running against the blue dog Democrat idiot fuckface that is like the rep of that district. And nobody fucking came out. Like, it's like she, yeah. Like a lot of people came out, but it wasn't like,
wasn't
you know,
enough.
It's not an, it was, she only lost by like a little bit. It's like, it's nuts to me that like Williamsburg and Bushwick, they're like, oh yeah, we're artists. This is such a creative and fun neighborhood. And then like nobody engages to, you know, preserve that or give a shit about that, other than like surface level bullshit. Like, and that's why I'd be very impressed if Salazar wins, because that's a huge gain than the last election where,
yeah,
not enough people came out. And it's just,
well,
it's,
there's still
know.
Time. Yeah. There's still time, and it doesn't matter how many failures it takes. Like, because the answer is clear. The answer is that we need.
It's true. It doesn't matter how many failures. Yeah. It doesn't. It's that doesn't mean anything, because fuck, the whole thing is rigged. Like, the whole election system is rigged, and we're all working within a really stupid, fucked up labyrinth. And there's all sorts of reasons why.
Yeah.
The right person doesn't ever seem to win, and it's all bullshit. And so if we're working within reforms rather than revolution, then whatever gains we can get is fine.
Mm-hmm. And yeah,
it's
frustrating.
It's
frustrating
because it's like working within electeds can only do so much, and it's not ideal. And ultimately, the Democrats fucking suck, and we need to just end the Democrats. Like, they suck.
Well, yeah, we could really do with platform, like a platform for people. You know, that would be cool. Like, I don't know about end. Like, I think things will naturally And when they have a replacement, the same, like, yeah. And it's just like, we don't have anything to contend with these people, well, what, except yeah. for like a lot what of sucks dissatisfaction.
Is like navigating their fucking maze that they've made to keep control of power and to fight off any third party. So it's like, we need to fight enough to abolish the maze.
Yeah.
And to make the democracy see, more direct.
I wonder, like, this is where it's like, how do we abolish the maze?
Exactly.
Yeah, and it's the same issue as, like, here's what we're doing with the art world. Like, it's a microcosm of our larger political structure. So we can figure out, like, through the art world, like, these more glaring, like, economic differences and, mm-hmm. and, like, the way that power is obfuscated and, like, you know, then maybe we can also, like, apply that understanding to a larger sphere. But, like, I don't know. I wonder how you would actually abolish anything without an immediate replacement or something that like grows up inside of the thing and breaks it apart.
Yeah, I think it's difficult, and I think like that's why a lot of like a lot of people, like a lot of like leftists, a lot of communists are just like, fuck working within the system at all. It's bullshit. And we need like we need to just like focus all our energy on building the labor movement instead of dealing with electoral politics at all.
Yeah.
Which I think why not do both?
Yeah, but, exactly. Yeah. I was just going to say, like, my instinct is that we need to do everything, and we need to like stop disparaging people for the ways that they find solutions. Like, but I think maybe the importance is also to build communications between these movements and say, right. like, okay, I'm going to extend to you the good faith that is terrifying to offer, just to be like, okay, like if you are going to go the route of like reformation, or like you're going to go into these like bourgeois circles and
yeah.
advocate.
Yeah.
Like, and I'm gonna, I believe in you, and I'm here and I'm watching, and I want there to be outcomes, and I, you know, I think it would be cool if we didn't have a bloody revolution. It would be awesome if we could figure this out
without that.
Yeah it would be so sick. Like, maybe violence is not inherent.
Maybe
or maybe we gotta, I don't know. Who knows? Nobody knows until we do it.
Yeah, I think the main concern is like we get the United States to a more comfortable place that's maybe resembles like, you know, even Canada. We talk about this all the time, but like, and then like the popular consciousness just forgets about the rest of the world and how much we're fucking them over or whatever.
Well, something that, like, still doesn't get talked about enough, I think, is the way that, like, climate change is going to affect our social landscape, because, like, there's a lot of projections that are actually getting closer and closer, and they're going to start hitting in our lifetime. Like, the effect that climate change has now on our food supplies means that there are going to be portions of like India and China and I'm guessing also the middle of America that are but I mean, you know, but we're doing a lot better than everyone else, so probably not us, but us too.
Yeah, us too.
That are gonna be experiencing like zinc deficiencies because like it's just that like our food production is not going to be able to like we'll still have the same mass of food, but it will have less nutrients in it. So it'll be like zinc is one of the things. Protein is another thing. Like we're going to have food. It's just going to have less protein in it. So I don't, you know, and that's going to actually affect people.
Y'all, we got to switch to crickets. We can't. The almond stuff,
We gotta stop it with those almonds.
The almonds, They're
so good,
the soybeans. I don't know what else takes a shitload of water. Like all the stuff that just takes weight. Cows.
Mm-hmm.
Like the methane thing.
Oh, but they're feeding seaweed to the cows.
So it's better.
Apparently, like when the cows digest the seaweed, it does something to change the methane levels in their digestive tracts.
Just get used to crickets now, because it's gonna be crickets. All right.
Yeah. So yeah, I mean, this is like the projection.
I don't see any other way.
In 50 years, there's going to be a dramatic decrease in like the nutrient levels of the crops that we're producing. So like,
yeah,
I mean, you know, and it's like, oh, why are we talking about that? It's you know, it's an art podcast, and you know, we're talking about like local politics, but why would we be talking about like,
hey, it's all related.
Yeah, whoa. It's just, it's kind of like we probably need to just start addressing community issues, also thinking of ourselves internationally. And like, I was listening to The Dig today. They had a episode about
the eco-socialism.
Yeah, and it was just so insane to think about people arguing about whether or not like socialism could be the answer to climate change or whatever. It's like, who gives a shit about terminology? Who gives a flying fuck? Just go outside and plant a tree and like just shut the fuck up about how much rent you want. Like, we're gonna burn to death together if you don't like stop. Just stop it. Just stop. I don't know. You got a lot of plastic? Stop having it. Just, I don't know. Like, socialism, capitalism, get it together, people. Who cares? We're all going to die.
I mean, it's.
I'm on that tip.
You know, with regards to the climate change, if it happens, we're going to have to adapt. So it's less like.
Well, it is happening.
Yeah,
it's,
I mean,
not,
it's already happened.
It's happening. It's currently occurring.
But
if
something, I whenever when I say that, I'm thinking of Manhattan flooding. That's what I'm thinking of.
Oh yeah, that also has already started to happen.
Yeah, I mean, like, you know, we had our whole L train episode.
Yeah,
like we've been. It's happening. We have to adapt, and I think under socialism, we'd be better prepared to. For everything, you know, it'd be less waste, and that's a huge part of it. But folks, seriously, get used to cricket powder. That's all I have to say.
Yeah,
get used to it. I've been a vegetarian my whole life. I'm like, I'm ready. Cricket powder. I'm ready.
Mm-hmm. Ready. Oh yeah, it's gonna be great. You know, they're gonna make it taste like vanilla. They're gonna make it taste like chocolate. It's gonna be fine. We're gonna have it like made into lots of cool shapes.
It's gonna be great. Come on. God, yeah. We're such a fucking tangent.
Well, yeah. I mean, we're just talking about this stuff because we're reading a manifesto, and it's got us thinking about how the revolution will be filled by crickets.
We're just like anticipating all of these arguments like in for like forever, and we just like keep going in our heads until we're anticipating the largest arguments, because that's how we work.
Yeah. This one's the data dump.
Fuck.
You know. Okay, so we're getting back on topic. We've got some more from Bad Art World, which is they also call for democratic community led arts in every
locality.
Yeah,
we talked about that.
That's all kind of similar, because and then nationalizing big art. The giant theater, cinema, publishing, and TV groups. Yeah,
we talked about this too. Nationalized movie pass.
Yeah,
like you know.
Let us see movies.
Like, figure out what, like, if things are really expensive. They talked about like Broadway.
Mm.
Like, then come to a consensus about what an affordable price can be. Like, you know.
Yeah, I love this next section about freedom. I like that, because I think like a lot of people confuse like, oh, the revolution, maybe it's going to be like Soviet Union art or something. But yeah, here we're calling for no to all censorship.
Mm-hmm.
An end to bullying and sexual harassment. And an end to stereotyping and persecution of all oppressed groups.
Guess what? We can fight for all those things at once.
Mm-hmm.
It's not impossible.
I can think about more than one thing at the same time, just like as evidenced in this podcast.
Oh my God, this fucking podcast. Tangents on tangents on tangents.
Yeah.
All connecting.
Yeah.
But that's key. I encourage y'all to read, you know, this whole thing, because it's if, you know, if we have a large solidarity of our artistic labor, we can fight for free expression, and if everybody is represented, if it's not skewed to just being white dudes, for example, then it's not going to just be arguments for like the most like reactionary bullshit art, quote unquote. Like it will be a more representative critique from the majority of people.
Oh yeah.
So.
Yeah, and once we abolish the system of capitalism that enforces our popular culture, we're going to be able to take more of a chance on the mission that postmodernism put forth, which is like finding value in alternative narratives. And like, basically, we would also abolish the term of alternative, because we would just have narratives that you could gravitate towards and find your own personal interest in.
But this, Lucia, like, what if that means giving money to art I don't think looks cool?
Well,
I want to be cool.
You can be cool once you take that stick out of your butt.
Yeah, like, fuck you. Seriously, like, fuck that. Fuck that argument. Like, I hate it. And it's all, you know.
Yeah.
I want to bring up the Comic Book Legal Defense Fund as an example of this, because it's happening right now. They are a group that is, like, dedicated to, you know, taking on free speech cases and within the arts or whatever. But they are refusing to take a case about this, like, rapist abuser guy is, like, suing all of his accusers for defamation.
Oh, my God, amazing.
And they are refusing to take the case, and everyone's really mad at them. But it's, like, if instead of this group of, you know, randos who you just, like, trust to do the right thing...
Mm-hmm.
To have all this like legal say in the comics world, if instead of that you have an organization that's like directly involves the entire labor force of the comics industry,
right?
You wouldn't have...
Wait, are you talking about like a people's court with like a jury of your peers? Wait a minute, what?
I mean, like, we don't need to give, and we shouldn't give one organization all this authority.
Yeah.
You can build our own, democratic organization, union.
Yeah, for guild, enforcement.
For enforcement of this. So the... executive director Charles Brownstein, they pay. So the Comic Book Legal Defense Fund paid its executive director like $125,000 in 2016 in salary. The Comic Book Legal Defense Fund makes a cool million in revenue annually. And $300,000 of that goes to the salaries, employees. And so, but their executive director makes more than a third of that. Why?
Yeah.
Why?
Just, you know, as a retainer. just got to make sure you don't go and get another job there. And then, you know, whole thing falls apart without that guy.
And the Small Press Expo donated $50,000 to the Comic Book Legal Defense Fund over the last 5 years. Why? Why are we supporting? Why should the small press community be supporting this group if they're not allocating their funds better, if they're not fighting for better representation or better democratization of their process, if they're not inviting, if expanding the organization to, instead of, you know.
It sounds like a similar thing to what happens in the fine art realm, where there are a lot of like benefit auctions that happen for institutions that also make private sales and have like gallery directors that will receive salaries that they make themselves, and then it'll be like, oh, can all of you artists get together and just donate a thing
for
free?
Yeah,
but it's really good exposure, and if you are linked to this, it means that you get a little cachet of having a cause or something. And like, we have that whole, I mean, I guess
it's all bullshit. Like, it's our episode we did about Glenn Lowry and the MoMA workers. It's like, they shouldn't be allowed to make that much, and they should all have to say how much they make. They should all be accountable to the public.
Oh yeah.
And
well,
like,
yeah, they're just, I, you know, again, who needs to make more than $200,000? You know, like, what if everyone did? I vote for that. That's a great proposition.
Oh my God, they have so much money, and they just like keep accumulating it and accumulating it. And it's honestly violent. Like, it's honestly like you keep hoarding and hoarding money.
Oh yeah.
It's you're hoarding violence inflicted on other people.
Mm-hmm.
That's what that is.
Yeah.
Like, don't fucking fool yourself.
Yeah. You know that movie, There Will Be Blood?
Yeah.
That's you guys.
Drink it up.
That's you with your money and stuff. Come on.
It's not the first time I've slurped into the microphone.
That was good.
For some reason.
Yeah. That's the shining point. Like, through all of time, we're going to remember that was the movie that had the milkshake line.
Oh, my God.
Oh, but I'm reading Upton Sinclair now.
Oh, wow.
Oil?
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it's the book that There Will Be Blood is based off of, and it's a great portrait of the American capitalist spirit that we've built our whole infrastructure around. And I guess I'm just like obsessed with understanding the psychology around what makes people want to retain wealth. And like, what it's not only the fear, it's also like, there's a morality around it. There's like,
That prosperity gospel shit that like has conned a lot of Trump people into thinking he's virtuous.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah. It's weird to think about.
And yeah, there's like the virtue, the intelligence, the power that has been bestowed by, you know, holy forces that makes it that we're like reinstituting a monarchy, basically. Like,
yeah, feudalism, make it again, why not?
Oh, why don't ya?
Why not, guys? Yeah, like, fucking think this shit through. It's so gross. Like, I hate it. Let's read the last points because they're the best ones.
Organization. Artists go to the workers. For artists to support all the struggles of our sister and brother workers and appeal to them for support in our own struggles. For artists to build and take part in trade unions and workers' parties. For fighting unions, where there's a genuine trade union for your work, join it. Where its leadership is not leading a fight back, demand it. where that leadership acts as a barrier, organize to change it. For collectives of struggle, also seek out other artists and workers who are struggling like you are, from collective campaigns that can put forward demands to improve the situation. Mm-hmm. Apply the tactics of demonstrations, lobbies, boycotts, and strikes to achieve them. Fight to save every art service. Fight to win more.
And then they say coordinate with bad art, send us reports, which I did do that. I reached out to the editors.
That's awesome.
And and like the main editor dude wants to talk to us, but I just wanted to learn more about them before.
Yeah.
We did that, but yeah, I don't know. Maybe he'll be our first guest.
Ooh.
I don't know.
That's exciting.
Yeah. We want to do that. Like, honestly, like, we want to build a coalition of people doing this type of work. Mm-hmm. Like, that's like the whole point. Like, and I don't care what art community you're part of. I don't care if you're a musician or a writer or like whatever.
Yeah.
We're all in this together. So I want to build a coalition with you if you're fighting for socialism in the arts. I want to know about it.
And also, we don't need to be like the thing that everyone flows through. Like, everyone can talk to each other, and there's just no reason for we don't need a hierarchy.
We don't want a hierarchy.
I don't want to be responsible for everybody. Like, everyone can, like, we all know what we need to thrive, and we don't need some people to be dedicating their every waking moment to this while other people are not doing it at all. Like, everyone can have a little bit of time where they organize and then a little bit of time where they don't have to. Like, it's just not necessary.
It's honestly no other way, because you have to combat burnout, because like, burnout is real and sucks.
Yeah. And leads to nihilism.
So the last two are for mass workers' parties, for mass democratic workers' parties in every country that aim to bring together the struggles of all workers, artists, young people, and the oppressed. Capitalism is the common cause of our woes. For these parties to adopt a fighting socialist program. So a lot of groups are already doing that. If you haven't already, you should join DSA. You should join... You know,
find some friends.
IWW, you should join.
Start
a Marxist group. If you feel weird about joining a political party,
just join something that's against capitalism, and eventually, all of the insects will devour it. All of us tiny, tiny little we'll take them down.
So do that if you haven't already.
Yeah. And then this last point, for socialism, for an end to capitalism around the world and all the exploitation and oppression that comes with it. Replace it with a society based on public ownership of the banks and big monopolies under democratic workers' control and management, with a socialist plan of production for genuine workers' democracy and internationalism.
Yeah, so that's the goal. I want to add that, like, it's, you know, socialism, it's good to aim for, like, I don't know, it's good to think about utopias, but, like, even in a post-socialist world, we're still going to have problems, we're still going to have to contend with, like, interpersonal things, there's a lot of kinks to work out,
we still have to deal with climate change people.
Yes, all these things are like would still be a problem even under socialism. Is not like a panacea that's going to solve everything. Mm-mm. But it's something to rally around for now.
It's basically socialism is going to give us a lot more mobility when we decide what to do with these other overarching issues. Like, we can say we want to deal with CO2 emissions, but we can't because of people's desire to maintain profit margins, which is like completely insane.
Right. And it's like, we can say like, oh, I want to get rid of plastic as an individual, but maybe I'm in such a fucking stressful job situation that I have to buy the, like, all this plastic shit for lunch every day because I don't have time to make lunch myself or
whatever.
Well,
and then there's also somebody that is like the CEO of Cisco products or whatever, and they're like, no, 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 you're gonna buy this thing, you're gonna buy this plastic because I need to make money. I need my money.
Yeah, it's it's bad. It's bad. Something it's to work. It's a tangible thing to think about and work towards instead of just like accepting the present situation as the way it has to be. Because if we do that, we're super fucking doomed. And if you're worried about a revolution being bloody and scary, things are already bloody and scary. Things are already apocalyptic. It might not be in your backyard, but it's already fucking happening.
Oh yeah.
So it's just like, you know, give a shit about that. Don't just be like, I've got mine, fuck everybody else, because
it's all going down. We're all connected. Everyone needs to understand that we've reached a point in the history of civilization where we need to like seriously consider a way of moving forward that will allow for the greatest amount of people to survive, because already like we should be talking about things in a manner of survival. Like there are people who are not making it through in like, and you know, there are politicians that are helping to ensure that there is like some level of death that is made, like we're like,
yeah,
like watching that interview of Cheney on the Sacha Baron Cohen show, God, like talking about his death count with pride. Like there are people who are just fine.
Like, are you really gonna come to me and tell me that person doesn't deserve to die?
Yeah, seriously, it's like under his own auspices, you know, it's...
He's a murderer, a crook, an idiot. I hate him so much.
He's so incredible. I like watching that interview. What a villain. Yeah. I don't know. Anyway, there are villains and there are issues of survival, and things are kind of dramatic when you want to look at the global scale of our issues facing humanity moving forward. It's fucked. It's fucked out there.
I guess in conclusion, it's way too hot.
It's way too
hot. This episode is pretty meandering, but it was necessary to get an episode out, I guess, even though it's too hot to be outside.
Yeah, it's wicked hot out, and
nobody should have to go outside when it's this fun.
Yeah, I think capitalism is to blame for how hot it is.
It is. That's what we talked about this whole episode.
I think there's a reason why I keep considering climate change.
This episode in particular.
It's like over a million degrees outside, and...
I really wanted to get your reaction on this article, but we've already gone too long. Maybe we'll talk about it with Sean tomorrow.
Okay.
Let's bring it up to Sean. That'd be funny, actually.
All right. What do you think about this?
We're going to do
what
a
do
joint...
What do your fans send you?
We're going to do a joint episode with Humor in the Abject that we're recording tomorrow. Hopefully it won't be so fucking hot.
This is also a long game, you know? So if some days you experience a brain fog due to the hellish nature of the air surrounding us, then like later on it's gonna be nice. It's gonna be autumn in New York soon. We're gonna be wearing sweaters. We're gonna like we're just gonna think that everything's actually fine, and
we'll forget about climate change in the autumn.
Exactly.
Oh my God.
It's gonna be fine.
Yeah.
That's how we do it. Hey everyone, the episode's over now. Let's have fun. I get if you have an aeroplane that can fly the world and we can have a fantasy. It doesn't matter if you drive a limousine. It really doesn't matter if you drive for galaxy. I really don't care if you just drive a truck. I'm
Let's have fun. Let's have fun. Let's have fun. Let's have fun. Lots of fun. Let's have fun. Let's have fun. Let's have fun. Lots of fun.